Blog Talk Radio.
Sports. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Glad to be here on this hump day. Looking forward to this week to be over with. This job literally is probably going to be the death of me. It seems that every time I turn around, finally get people in the store and finally get staffed, then it just goes back downhill. Over the last month, I had two people walk out in the middle of their shift. Another person when I came in this morning, and left their notice. They hadn't really worked much the last, I think, two shifts in the last 3 weeks, so wasn't extreme. My food person, her house got shot up due to her son and other males and women drama, and supposedly one of them was our customer, so she informed me Friday was going to be her last day. Monday, I had to fire an assistant manager for theft. Might have been last Monday at this point, but it's been a never-ending battle. And so trying to stay under a certain amount of hours for myself and make sure there's people there at the store, it just been, I'd say the last 2 days I've gotten home at 6 o'clock and I've probably been asleep by 6:30. It's just crazy hectic. So looking forward to the weekend, looking forward to 4th of July parade. Looking forward to relaxation, looking forward to grilling out, looking forward to all that stuff. But before we get there, most definitely looking forward to tonight as we go to an hour and a half show as of tonight. So looking forward to that. Mario and myself had been talking about it, trying to decide, you know, a good time to do this is by the time the NFL season rolls around. We would like to get to a 2-hour show. Most of the shows, we don't even get through all the topics we had in mind and planned for the show. So, we decided we'd test the water tonight, see if tonight would be kind of see where we're at. And so looking forward to that as well. Don't forget, you guys can follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. You can like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Instagram, you can follow us, the 110 Nation. Make sure you guys check out our site, www.the110nationsportsradio.com. It has all the, www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. I'm sure I said that right. It's got our blogs. It's got our videos. It's got our shows. It's got the links to take you to any platform that you choose to use for podcasts. So if you listen to iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, you name it, there's tabs there that takes you to it. Or if you just go, if you listen to your podcast on, let's say, iHeartRadio, just search the 110 Nation on iHeartRadio. Follow us that way. I think that's all I want to get into before we get Mario into the studio. Let's go ahead and throw him in here. Mario, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. It seems like you got a lot of stuff going on at the store, but I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be here. I didn't notice we're going an hour and a half tonight. That's awesome.
Yes. I think you liked her comment on the Facebook page. I thought you'd seen that. We discussed behind the scenes, and I reached out to Mario because I wanted to make sure that it was cleared with him and make sure that he's got his schedule cleared. Mario's been on the carny scene as he's been doing his thing at different festivals and carnivals and stuff. What do you got going on now, Mario, and where can they find Carolina Sports Plus website, Facebook, all that good stuff?
You can find us, Carolina Sports Plus, at carolinasportsplus.com. You can like us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus. Also, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, also Carolina Sports Plus. But we got a lot of good things going on. Currently, we got our raffle going on. So that's always good, you know what I mean? This is the fifth one of this year, so we're going to keep that rolling. But it's out. You can check us out. You can check that out on Carolina Sports Plus on Facebook or Instagram.
With work and everything, I've not had a lot of time to send a lot of topics over. So on a night that we go to an hour and a half, would be a night I probably have the least amount of topics that I've sent over to Mario. A lot of times throughout the week, I try to send him just at least the topics or different news clips of things going on, so he kind of has an idea and way in and prepare for the show the best way he can. There was only a couple topics that I sent to Mario. One of them, you know, in our lifetimes, we only get to experience that generational player, that player that when you look back or in the history books, when my kids or maybe even my kids' kids are looking in the history book and we're talking about some of the all-time greats or the best to ever do it, you don't get too many in each generation. You know, we've kind of been fortunate with the Michael Jordan thing. I think we were kind of still young, so we got to experience it, but not maybe so much appreciate. We had to appreciate it more from the highlights and the series that came out with and really appreciate it. We've had the opportunity to more so have the LeBron experience, and even so the Tom Brady. But I don't feel that the Tom Brady, even though he'll probably go down as the greatest, if not football player of all time, definitely go down as probably the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't think that. And I could be wrong. You could see this possibly differently than I do. I don't think he was a generational talent. I mean, hell, he was drafted, what, the 199th pick out of Michigan. He was more of a product. It wasn't like his arm wowed us. It wasn't like his athletic abilities wowed us. It wasn't like, you know, he made throws that nobody else was able to do. He just played great in a system and took care of himself to be able to play as long as he did. And at times, I think we can almost say the same about LeBron, and I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron, but taking care of his body and be able to play the amount of years that he's been able to play is kind of going to, at the end of the day, be the big reason why we remember LeBron, and LeBron's accomplished what he's accomplished. And don't get me wrong, physically, I think all of us, especially males, would give anything to have his physical abilities. But there's nothing that he really does other than being having the the basketball IQ that he has. I don't think anything outside of that puts him above and beyond and makes him this generational athlete, like, oh, my God, he did this more than anybody else or better than anybody else, other than just being able to have this basketball IQ and really be able to, you know, kind of lead teams to championships. I think this player right here that I'm getting ready to talk about might be the first one, and we're at the front end of this. So we're getting a chance to kind of appreciate everything we're about to see, and that's Los Angeles Angels, and I know I'm going to jack this up, Shohei Ohtani, I guess is how you pronounce
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
What this, and even more specifically basketball, because or baseball, because even the players that I've made mention to up to this point only really excelled at one thing. They only excelled on one side of the ball. There wasn't like Tom Brady excelled on the defensive side of the ball, special team side of the ball, anything else. He was just great in the system. And like I said, his arm didn't even wow us. He made some great passes throughout his career, but I think any of us, if we were going to take arms, we probably would have took Peyton Manning's arm over Tom Brady's arm. Peyton Manning was able to do in the audibles and how he read a defense and dissected down before the 24-second clock was up or the 40-second clock was up and changed the play in 99% of the time, put the Colts or even the Broncos in the best position to be successful and lead both of them to Super Bowls, I think we would have took that over Tom Brady. Tom Brady was just phenomenal at being a system quarterback. And I know some people, well, he went to Tampa Bay. It was still his system. He just kind of took with him. It was still a system. He still didn't overwow us. And they loaded that team up. I mean, it was already kind of loaded in the first place, but then they ended up loading it up even more to help the odds for Tom Brady to win the Super Bowl. Even with LeBron, he's never wowed us on both sides of the ball. He just, in his younger days, was able to score a lot of points. And then was just impressed us with his basketball IQ. But Ohtani and what he's doing, and we've had two-way players. So, you know, we've had, you know, Deion Sanders play baseball and football. We've had Bo Jackson play baseball and football. This is not even a two-way player. This is a player that's playing both sides of the ball better than anybody else in the league is playing either side of the ball. With his 28 homers, 64 RBIs, which leads the majors in both categories. Then we get on the mound. He's 7-3 with the 3.04 ERA, 127 strikeouts, and leads in a lot of things when it comes to the pitching side of the ball. He's fifth in C.Y. Young. Odds, and he's overall favorite to be the at least American League MVP. This has been insane. I know we've not talked about it a lot, and our attention for the most part was wrapped up in the NBA, and we've been transitioning more and more into the majors as we're in between this and the NFL. But Mario, what Ohtani is doing, I don't know, as an athlete, we have seen this in our generation to play at this level all around and play in essentially offense and defense. And I know it's a little bit different, especially when you talk about the NFL, you play in offense and defense. NBA, yes, you're going to play both sides. But we've never seen this in baseball. I can't recall anybody playing to most of the times you dreaded. I don't think I could ever remember a time in either playing baseball or watching baseball that we did not, even as a fan, dreaded our pitcher to come up and bat. And to have a pitcher that is leading the majors in home runs and RBIs, he leads in slugging percentage, on base percentage, batting a 304, I don't think any of us ever thought we would see this out of a pitcher.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see. And he's doing some good things on the plate and on the mound. So I would put him up there so far as what he's doing is great. I would like to see him win the MVP, of course, but down the road I'd like to see him, you know, win a championship. But as far as what he's doing for the league is good. You know, baseball needed something like this, you know, to keep the buzz in sports. But overall it is great to see. And then there's nothing like seeing greatness, you know, live or being able to watch it. So I definitely give him his respect.
I am lost for words when I'm sitting mm-hmm. here and watching the highlights. When I'm sitting here watching a player do something that, one, I never would have fathomed the thought of a pitcher being this dominant on the batting side.
Yeah, batting side throw. He bats left and throws right. You know, that's kind of unique within itself, you know, especially what he does on the plate and on the mound.
I mean, just Tuesday night, just last night, struck out 10 in 6.1 innings, mm-hmm. allowing just one run at the plate, went 3-for-3 with two home runs. Just the sixth pitcher with two homers and 10 strikeouts in the game since the mound moved to his current distance back in 1893. I never mm-hmm. even would have guessed there would have been any other pitchers that would have hit two home runs and had 10 strikeouts in a game, period. But to know that essentially in 130 years, he's only the sixth pitcher to ever do it. And then obviously, because they said since they moved the mound in 1893. That just... It's just crazy. Like, and I don't know what take anything away. And I know it kind of sounded like I was taken away from LeBron and Tom Brady, because what they've accomplished in their sports has been phenomenal. And like I said, at the end of the day, they will go down as, if not the greatest, one of the greatest all time of their respectful sports. But just to see what Ohtani is doing in multiple aspects of the game and how many categories that he's leading in just blows my mind, that he's defying the traditional look of a pitcher and what a pitcher does. And it never, because when I was in Little League, I was a pitcher and I was a good hitter. Mm-hmm. So growing up, it never made sense to me. Why, just because you're a pitcher, you don't hit very well? Now, I understand you don't play, but traditionally the pitchers only pitch what, every fourth or fifth game, so you're not batting as often, so it's not something you do on a nightly basis. And of course, now with the DH and everything, and it kind of changes it up, and, you know, someone like Ohtani can bat every night because he now could be the DH and everything else. But you would still think that the pitchers would still know how to bat well and would, you know, hell, you got ninth off on a regular basis to practice more. It's not like, you know, you can't go to the batting cage two or even three of the nights off or take a hitting practice two or the three nights that you're off and worry about wearing yourself out because you're not going to play anyway. So I never really understood why pitchers were such horrible hitters. Then you have someone like Ohtani that just takes this to a whole different level and is able to lead in so many categories on both sides of the ball. It's just crazy to me. And I agree. It's something that baseball needs, not to the extent that we saw once upon a time with the whole Barry Bonds,
McGuire,
Sammy Sosa.
And kept baseball alive, though. Them were some good times, but, you know, during that time. It was definitely
interesting watching. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy because we was at a time where baseball was probably at some of its all-time lows. After
yep,
the strike,
yeah,
and
time,
people
yeah.
just didn't want to watch. And it is funny how, of course, Sosa and McGuire, they've come out and admitted to it. Barry Bonds he'll ride or die. He'll never admit to anything.
Take it to the grave.
Yeah. And I'm not delusional. And to say that, okay, I remember what Barry Bonds looked like when he played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know what he looked like when he hit all those home runs in San Francisco. Obviously, he put on a considerate amount of size. It could have been that, yes, he had a whole different eating regimen and, you know, took very good care of his body and took the right supplements. I'm not delusional to think that. But it's crazy to me how they're able to keep him out of the Hall of Fame without there being any admission or any proof that he actually did anything. What's your thoughts on these players not being allowed? One, all of them not being allowed that have come out or tested positive. And then more specifically with Barry Bonds, where there's not any actual admission or proof that he actually did anything. Should he be allowed in the Hall of Fame?
During that time, that was a great time in baseball. You know, I was on the young side. I was on I enjoyed it. But could I put him in the Hall of Fame? Yes, I could. Could I put Clemens in with him? I'll say yes also. But, you know, I'm not on the committee. You know what I mean? I think a lot of other players got into the Hall of Fame. That was during that time. That was also using. You know, but I say yeah. I would put Bonds in. I honestly would.
I am in the same boat.
Yeah.
I am in the same boat as you. The reason is one, you're not ever going to convince me that Roger Maris back in the day hit 61 home runs and it took Mark McGuire or Barry Bonds or even Sammy Sosa on roids to beat his record. So you're going to convince me that Roger Maris, and I'm not going to say necessarily did steroids, but you're going to tell me that Roger Maris did this completely clean, and nobody else in the world could do that until they were doing PEDs, and that was the only way that record, that 61 home runs in a year, could be beat. I just find it hard to believe. But more specifically, one, what they did resurrected Major League Baseball. What they did, that home run race went from nobody wanting to be at a game or watching a game to one, when McGuire, Sosa, and went back and forth that year, the stadiums were getting packed. And then, of course, all eyes was on baseball when Barry Bonds and ultimately hit the 756 home run. I think he hit, 77 or 70-something in the season. Ultimately, that helped put eyes back on baseball and put baseball back on the map.
Yeah.
Someone that has used supplements And supplements is about as close as you can get to taking roids. I have done my research. I have watched my documentaries. I have watched and studied when it comes to that. It's not like taking these different things improve their eye-back coordination or made them run faster or do anything that, like, all of a sudden they're running the flash-like speeds and had Superman-like strength. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it just helped them recover faster.
Mm-hmm.
Where the whole roid issue in a slippery slope for me is where, and them not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame, is all the technology that we've gotten over the years, all the advancements, all the different types of creatines, and right now when you go into your GNCs and you go into this place and you go into that place, even the stuff you can take that wouldn't come up positive for anything is so advanced that you're going to tell me that it doesn't give the player today any kind of advantage over the player of yesterday? Like, how do you dictate just because of the one PED is the only thing that doesn't, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you're saying mm-hmm. that roids is the only thing that gives you an unfair advantage over anybody else. But creatine, just the natural, just taking creatine, helps you with size and strength that the players back in the 30s, 40s, 50s didn't have. So now we're dictating on what we feel is an acceptable advantage for today's players versus yesterday's players.
Yeah.
Like, and then on top of that, I feel for the most part, especially during that time frame, it evened out the play field. If you got someone like Roger Clemens taking steroids, why should the batter not be able to have that same, you know, quote unquote advantage? I have taken some stuff that is called Tren. A buddy of mine used to get it. And I don't feel it gave me an unfair advantage. The only thing it did was I could work out like I have never worked out before. I could be in that gym for 4 hours. I could be drenched. I could lift my max reps, max weights that I have ever lifted in my life. And I woke up tomorrow, I didn't feel that I had done anything the day before. There was no recovery. There was no soreness. There was no nothing. I literally could have done max chest every day for 7 days straight and not been affected on that part of it. Outside of that, I don't feel that it changed anything. It wasn't like all of a sudden I was already benching 400 some odd pounds. It wasn't like I went from, you know, 200 pounds to all of a sudden maxing out at 460, which that's what I ended up maxing out. I was already benching 420, 425, something like that. And by the time that, I think it was a 3 month, it was a 12 week cycle of supplements I took. And part of it had to do with hormones, or not hormones, testosterone as well. So it wasn't like I was just taking one thing. I was taking multiple things. My bench went from a 420 to a 460s where I maxed out on 12 weeks of going to the gym hardcore, hard every single day. So the whole not allowing players in because whether or not they did or did not do steroids, to me, is crazy. Just because we all know that there are players in there that slipped through the cracks, didn't happen to get tested, and are in there. You got players that – it's funny because the same people that voted were excited when baseball was back on the map and baseball was everything, but then frowned upon with the players, and it wasn't just one player, it wasn't just two or three players. Everybody don't get it twisted. It wasn't just Martin McGuire, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds, and we were throughout also Roger Clemens, that were doing it. There were many players doing it. But you were excited that baseball was revived by that whole era of players, regardless what they may or may not have been doing. But then when it was time to vote them in the Hall of Fame, you all of a sudden frowned upon what the exact thing you were cheering on when they put baseball back on the map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
ought to be glad that I'm not voting. And I guess also you're not voting because Barry Bonds would have been in the Hall of Fame if it would have been my votes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have been in there.
Oh, Lord. That
buzz in Cincinnati is for real.
It's finally starting to catch here a little bit. Not as much. And I talked about this. We talked about this on the show and also talked about it with my wife. And my wife's like, well, I have a bunch of friends that, you know, I see it, and she, of course, she's got Cincinnati Red fans on her Facebook page or friends with on Facebook. I don't have Cincinnati Reds fans. I think my brothers may be Reds fans, but my brothers, I'm completely different than the rest of my brothers. My oldest brother, who passed away, I want to say a handful of years ago at this point in time, was a big NASCAR. I'm not gonna say big. He was a NASCAR fan. That's who I went to the Daytona 500 with. I went to a couple July races at Daytona with him. If we talked any sports, that was what we talked. Someone that lived right by the Daytona track. He was a fan of NASCAR, but he wasn't a huge NASCAR fan. Then the next brother down, I ain't talked to in 10, 15 years. He is a Cincinnati, I'm going to say he is a fan of the Bengals and he is a fan of the Reds. He will go to a Reds game. He will go to a Bengals game. He likes NASCAR or did at least like NASCAR as well. But he's not the fan, not the fan per se, just the fan of. He doesn't know a lot about his players. He doesn't keep up with the stats and that kind of thing. He's just a fan of. Yes, we won. Yes, we're 5-0. Yes, we're 6-3. He'll know those stats, but he's not going to know Joe Burrow went 17-for-21, 355 yards, 2 touchdowns, an interception kind of guy. And then you got the 2 younger brothers who are fans of the Bengals, and that might be the extent of it. But I'm only friends with the 2 younger brothers, so I don't have a lot of Cincinnati. And then when it comes to Ohio, I have more friends on Facebook, and I talk to more people that are from North Carolina or live in North Carolina than I do in Ohio. With the family life, especially my work schedule, and then also the DoorDash schedule, I don't have what I would call a friend in Ohio as it is. I have more friends, and when I go to North Carolina, I spend more time with people in North Carolina than I do the rest of the year while I'm in Ohio. So I don't have it on my timeline. So the wife's like, oh, there's Cincinnati stuff all over my timeline. I see Cincinnati this, Cincinnati that. Since I've posted a few things, we all know that Facebook watches our phones and watches what we type and talk about. There has been a lot more Cincinnati stuff in my feed, not from people that I'm friends with or stuff like that, just in my feed. But when it comes to, and I pointed out to this to her, though, and the same thing I pointed on the show, you know, the Bengals on this run and doing these things, it would be who day this and who day that, and you see Cincinnati Bengal jerseys and Cincinnati Bengal T-shirts and coats and hats and everything else because that time of the year, I'm still not seeing Cincinnati Red stuff. I'm not still seeing Cincinnati jerseys. I think I might have seen a jersey the other day. I can't remember. And I think that jersey I saw might have been last Friday night, and that's because we was at a Dayton Dragons game, which is the high A affiliation of the Cincinnati Reds. we had a game Friday night. It, actually, the Dragons didn't even have their first hit until the bottom of the seventh. We ended up scoring three in the bottom of the seventh, ended up winning that game 3-1. But I still don't feel for what the Reds have been doing, especially over the last, I don't know, 15, 20 games. There's still that following, that hype, that everything else that I would have came to expect. But this does bring up, and we'll talk more about the Reds here in a second, but and have you made it to any of the Fayetteville Woodpecker games yet?
I'm going. I really want to, you know, just because it's that is right down the road, but I've been kind of busy lately. You know what I mean? So, but I'm definitely going to check one out. I'm going to take my boys, take the family, but I'm definitely going. But, no, I haven't been yet.
All right. Now, for those that don't know, the Fayetteville Woodpeckers are an affiliate of the Houston Astros. I was actually supposed to go to a game. It was either the year I moved, that summer, because I moved in October 2019. So it was either that summer or the summer before I was supposed to go. I think it was that summer. We actually was halfway there, and the game got rained out. I don't know to what affiliate. I don't know if they're a high A or what affiliation the Woodpeckers are to the Houston Astros, but they're an affiliation of the Houston Astros. Living in Fayetteville, we also had the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs, which I had to explain to the wife what the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs were. And those that don't know, I think they're in the Coastal Plains League or whatever it's called. The Fayetteville Swamp Dogs were basically a baseball. It was baseball, but it was more of a family get-together. I don't even know if they even still have the Swamp Dogs going on. But it was basically high school kids that basically stayed with different people. A lot of them weren't just from Fayetteville. You would have people that were affiliated with the program that would let these kids come stay, rent a room out or whatever. And basically the summer between their high school and college, they would come play baseball for the Fayetteville Swamp Dogs or different affiliates of that league, same thing. But what made it a little bit different, other than there was really no affiliation to any high school or any Major League Baseball team, is in between every single inning, you had a family fun event, like kids out there in pie throwing contests or doing this or doing that. It was activities in between each inning. So it was a more of a fun family fun time with baseball in between, but it gave those kids that between high school and college something to do. So they got them to play baseball and kept them in shape and just kind of let them fine-tune their skills. Rewind back to the main point of this. I get to go to, and we do partial season of the Dayton Dragon. We split a half home game, so there's 66 home games. We got 33 of them, and then we split them three ways amongst each other. My mother, my sister-in-law, and myself. I think we're trying to expand that this next year. I'm not 100% sure. My mom keeps saying this. I would love to. Eventually, I'd like to get to a point that when I retire, I just have a full season, and that's I can just go whenever I want, as often as I want. And even more so now to the point where I'm getting at. I never really thought about this, Mario. All the games that I've gone to over the last couple of years, even before I got season tickets. As a matter of fact, I reconnected with my wife the weekend. It was like the first weekend of April of 2019. I came back, I want to say, it might have been the first weekend of May. It was the first weekend of May or April. But I came back the beginning of every month. But I was back the 4th of July weekend. Or no, I'm sorry. The first weekend of June. As a matter of fact, I came in town the morning of June 1st. The wife and I had a concert. We saw Travis Tritt and Charlie Daniel Band. I poke at the wife for this because I tell her is when she made us official June 1st. She doesn't like that I poke at her for it. essentially, some guy saw the picture of us at the concert. She posted on Facebook and basically was inquiring because I guess he was trying to talk to her. And so he was inquiring, and she's like, are we dating? Are we boyfriend or girlfriend? I forget how she worded it or what. And I said, sure. So that was kind of how we became official, but not came official. But I use that as our official. We use that as our official date of dating. And I always tell her she's the one that made us official. June 2nd, when we went, I actually met the kids for the first time. We went to a Dayton Dragons game. It was an afternoon game. It's a, or actually, I think it was a 1 o'clock game, but I didn't get on the road until 5 or 6 o'clock at that Sunday night. It was a late night for me because it's a 10-hour drive back, and you didn't hardly sleep, so I was constantly had to pull over and take a nap here, take a nap there. But I've been going, basically, long story short, I've been going to Dayton Dragon games since June of 2019. We eventually, like I said, the last two, maybe three seasons, we've been doing the partial seasons. Or split in the home games or whatever. I never really thought about this. And this is why I asked, because once I say this, I think you'll kind of, you'll realize what the possibilities are or where I'm going at with this anyway. I never realized while I was sitting there that I would be potentially seeing the next big thing in baseball. In other words, I didn't realize when I was watching De La Cruz last year play baseball that I was watching the De La Cruz that we're watching this year.
Like, yeah.
I didn't have that thought process. I didn't have, I don't know if the word appreciation is the right word for this, but it never crossed my mind I'm going to be watching this guy play Major League Baseball. I am going to be watching this guy tear up the major leagues. I'm going to be watching this guy do things that other players have never done, or we're going to be talking about, like we were talking about De La Cruz for this last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so Friday when I'm sitting there, because there's a guy, and I can't think of his last name, he's a big Hispanic dude, like, the wife jokes talking about he looks like a grown man out there with a bunch of boys. Like, the old dude plays first base. It's like Aruba or Raba. I don't know his last name. I mean, he's got like 7 home runs. He bats like 250. She said he looks like a football player, and he does. He looks like a football player out there. He a big dude. He looks like a fight that was ever break out between the two teams, that he would clear the both sides benches. Like, he's a big dude. And now I'm sitting there. As a matter of fact, if you guys watch, There's Only One Nation, episode 9, this last episode to come out this last week, actually came out on Sunday instead of Saturday this week. I actually, the batter from the game that I record on Friday night was him. That was the last clip, last day of clips that I put on that video. But I'm sitting there at this game, and it clicked in my mind, like, I could be watching the next De La Cruz here. Like, which one of these players, like, you start to sit there and you kind of look at things a little bit different when you're sitting here watching, and you'll be able to do the same thing if you get to go to these Woodpecker games. Like, who's going to be the next De La Cruz? Like, who is everybody else? And I think the coolest thing about it is everybody made this big deal about De La Cruz. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I've been watching this dude for a year now. Like, where y'all been? Like, I know where y'all been, but, like, where y'all been? Like, I know that I have an unfair advantage. And if you get one of those players on your, especially the farm teams, that you get to know before everybody else is kind of one of the coolest things to get to experience. Like, now I'm going to these games, like, which one of y'all now that I get to watch? Which one of y'all that I am not really appreciating what I'm watching right now because I didn't really appreciate it. It was fun to watch De La Cruz. We cheered him on. And even playing for the Dragons, I didn't see what we got to see this year so far, him when he got in the starting lineup. I didn't see that out of him last year. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think he was, we're gonna take the Major League Baseball by storm good. And I hope it doesn't fade for him. As much as I am not a Reds fan, I hope this is something that, you know, continues on for his career and he ends up making a big name for himself. But it's really cool mm-hmm. to sit there and why everybody's oohing and on, and I even made a post about it somewhere, a comment somewhere. Like, y'all making a big deal about somebody. I was like, where y'all been? Like, I've been watching this dude for a year now. And that's one of the cool – that's why I was asking, because I know you talked about it, and I know your life is hectic. I know, especially with you trying to continue to build your business and build your company and everything else, that I'm going to say I know you're busy. Let me say, I can only imagine how busy you are, because I am in the unfortunate still part of my life where I'm building, helping someone else build their business for nickels and dimes versus getting to do my own thing. So I can only imagine what it's like trying to build your own business, have all the responsibilities, all the finance, everything that you go through on a daily basis, weekly basis, and everything else. But I hope you get an opportunity not just to go out to one game or two games, but get an opportunity, because the prices, and I'm assuming they're the same as Fayetteville, probably even cheaper in Fayetteville, I don't know, because cost of living, things are, like gas is like 20 cents higher. That was one of the things when I was home both times that I did appreciate, was especially the gas prices being, but things are, cost of living is cheaper down south than it is up north. I think the only thing that's cheaper up north is, I don't know why, but the alcohol. Alcohol is much cheaper up here. But then the cigarettes, of course, being out there in tobacco land, cigarettes and tobacco are much cheaper down south. But I hope you get an opportunity to have a chance to experience what I got to experience when it comes to this and get to go to multiple games. Like I said, it's a crazy feeling to – now I was sitting there Friday, and the wife was actually glad. It's been a busy week. I felt bad because the previous game we didn't go to. It was Friday night. We came upstairs. I came upstairs to get changed. And I made mention about being worn out. And the wife's like, you know, if you don't want to go, we can sit at the house, chill out back. And not go. And I said, you know, I don't feel it. Like, I said, the hours I've been working. And I said, I'm really thinking about it. And the wife goes, well, you know, you paid for the tickets. You know, let's go ahead and go. And I told the wife, I was like, look, I said, it's one thing if I had to work extra this week to come up with the money to pay for the tickets. And it's only 15. Even though we're in the third row, right on the third baseline, right there by third base, it still comes out to like $15 a ticket. It's not even that big of a deal when it comes to ticket price. I said, but even more so, it wasn't like I worked extra hard or extra hours this week or DoorDashed or whatever to come up with an extra $30 to come to the game. I said, I paid for them at the beginning of the season. Yes, I paid for them, but it wasn't like it was as inconvenient. I came up with this money to buy these tickets and then decide not to go. So, which was a good thing, because by 9:30, 10 o'clock, I was passed out asleep in the chair out back and woke up like midnight because I was so tired. And so we rolled into Friday, and I was starting to feel the same way. I said, man, it's been a long week. I had to rush to get out of work. Jimmy had to rush to get home. For the second time this year, we took her car. The first time we took my car, and I had left all the tickets upstairs. So we got halfway to the baseball field. I had to turn around, come get the tickets. Well, this week, this Friday, all the tickets are in my glove box, but I had only 24 miles left of gas in my car, and I had some other stuff in the car. So we took her car because I didn't have time to go run and get gas and everything else. Got halfway to the ball field and realized tickets are still in the glove box. So I turned all the way around, go all the way back to get the tickets. We're in the first inning, and I'm already nodding off. The wife's like, you're asleep already. Like, my head is all over the place. And I'm nodding a little more. She's like, look, if you want to go, we can go. I was like, no, we're here. I want to watch this game. And there was a few parts of the game, like I said, it was rough. Like, we didn't get a hit until the bottom of the seventh. It was not the most exciting game at all until we got to the bottom of the seventh and things started to get a little bit better. But after what De La Cruz did, it makes it even harder for me to want to even being tired, want to give any night away or not go to any games, because what if I miss seeing the next big thing? Like, I don't know, it's just crazy knowing what I got to watch, what I experienced, and hope that I get to experience more, even being a non-Reds fan.
Yeah, not chasing, but definitely got the opportunity to see who's next. You know what I mean? Who could be the next big thing? You know what I mean? Because somebody is. You know, somebody has to take some steps to get to the next level. So I can definitely
and
feel
and
you
I
on
know
that.
There's going to be people out there to be like, well, the same thing with college. What? To me, it's not the same thing as college. 99% of those guys that are in college, people already know about them. There's a reason why they're playing at those colleges. There's a reason why C.J. Stroud was at Ohio State. There was a reason why Bryce Young was at Alabama. It'd be more so like you caught them at high school level and you had an opportunity to be sitting there watching Bryce Young at his high school playing football and knew, you know, got to see him at that level before anybody else discovered him. And so, you know, it's crazy. I don't think did we get into the whole Chris Paul thing last week? I don't even know if the trade happened before the show.
No.
I don't. It seemed like we talked about Chris Paul.
We talked, yeah. They got pulled up out of there.
Yeah, I have a buddy of mine that I work with, well, an employee of mine. I'm not gonna say a buddy of mine. We just happen to talk sports, and honestly, he's about one of the last employees I even have left. So we talk sports, and he asked me about it, my thoughts on it, and so I'm curious to see how this is going to work. I think the biggest positive note was getting rid of the Jordan Poole contract. I think that was probably the biggest thing they were focused on, was getting rid of that ridiculous contract. But I am curious to see how this is going to work, because, one, I don't see Chris Paul being a starter. And when we talked about Chris Paul previously, that's what I said. I see Chris Paul coming off the bench. I see Chris Paul being that veteran that helps mentor somebody, but he went to a team that he doesn't need a mentor, because you got Steph Curry there already to do that job, but you're Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. It's not like you got some rookie point guard or young point guard that you need a mentor without somebody there. But on top of that, style of play. I mean, Chris Paul's most of his life has made most of his money off the pick and roll. And that's not how the Golden State Warriors play ball. And the pace, I don't know if Chris Paul's going to keep up. Seems that Golden State plays a more high-tempo kind of game. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see, if he stays. Like, I don't know if there's a bigger picture or Golden State's working another angle, or this is what they're going with, but B, how two completely different styles of play at the point guard position and how you're going to get your team to transition, because you're going to be playing one style with Steph Curry on the court. And granted, Chris Paul's time is not going to be, I don't feel, a significant amount. I'm not going to say he's not hardly going to play, but compared to Steph Curry, no, it's not going to be a significant amount. I'm curious to see how this team will adjust, or will you have players that you'll bring in when you bring Chris Paul in to play a different style of basketball? Because Steph Curry and Chris Paul play two different types of basketball. And then speaking of those two, there's been a lot of bad blood between those two. I'm curious if that's all been buried in. I know it was brought up, and I thought it was interesting, and if they would have never been pointed out, I never would have known this. But there was no welcome to the team, or Chris Paul's joining us, or anything, any kind of tweet, social media, anything from the Golden State Warriors. Makes me wonder how welcomed Chris Paul is to this organization.
Yeah. I think if he does stay, I think it'll definitely be a switch. But as far as the pace, I can agree with that. But Chris Paul is definitely gonna set a good offensive tempo. You know, he's gonna get Steph Curry good shots off his pick and rolls. You know what I mean? Off his cutting and moving and swinging. Same thing with Klay Thompson. You know, I think they didn't have no clear point guard where Steph Curry had to, you know, initiate the offense, you know what I mean, when they got in tight positions or when they needed buckets. You know, they had to put the ball in Steph Curry's hands to make him make a good decision. But it keeps him out, keeps him off swinging and moving and coming off picks, you know, to hit the big shots or hit good three-pointers. You know, so with Chris Paul, you know, if he stays on the team, I think he definitely puts, you know, better shots, selections, you know, in Klay Thompson's hands and Curry's hands. And I think Poole, you know, he was a little turnover machine, you know what I mean? He was always dribbling off his foot, dribbling off his knee, you know, in critical situations, you know. And I think Chris Paul's shot selection will be a lot better than Poole's was, you know. I think Poole was trying to figure out, you know, am I the next Steph Curry? I think they collided a little bit, you know, as far as their same style of play. But, you know, if he sticks around with the Warriors, I think, you know, good things could happen. But they still need big men, and they definitely need a bench, you know what I mean? So that's something that they still got to work out. They still got to work on Draymond Green, you know what I mean? So they still got some things they need to figure out. But the contract was a big thing, and I think Jordan Poole with Kerr, you know, obviously they didn't get along. You know, I think Poole got the big head, you know, after the season he had before this one, you know, and with the contract and the play style, and I think it just didn't sit right. Plus the fight, you know, there's just, you know, bad blood on the team. I think I think it was more of the team, the coach, and the players want to get rid of Jordan Poole, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, contract was a bad contract. And the other side of this was the Phoenix Suns getting Bradley Beal, giving them the quote unquote big three. His video out with, I can see his face, KD and Booker, Devin Booker, somewhere out of the United States, shooting ball together, obviously working on things. So you got Golden State and Chris Paul dumping the Jordan Poole contract. I don't think that changes much for them. You got Bradley Beal going to Phoenix. You losing your floor general, but you got younger and improvements, but I don't think much changes for them. As in the aspect, I don't think anybody still is able to touch Denver. As long as Denver does not come across the plague of injuries, right now, I have not seen any moves by any team that changes Denver going into the season as being the favorites to win it again, or at least win the West. I don't think I've seen anything in the East as well that would change my mind of them being overall favorites. Either of these moves change your thoughts on where we're at with Denver being the favorites?
With Denver still has a good team. You know, they're still deep. If they can keep everybody together, I know Brown, you know, wants to leave, but I think they can figure out a contract with him because he played a big role, you know, especially during playoffs. But I didn't really see too much, you know. Of course, the Lakers, you know, with LeBron, but there's not too much going on over there. Phoenix, you know, they got, you know, of course they got Beal, but they also still kept their center. You know, hopefully Aiden is a little bit more motivated since their coach is gone. We'll see how that works. They got to figure out, you know, who's going to want to come down here and play with Phoenix, you know, for, I wouldn't say the bare minimum, but they got a lot of bench work they need to do. They still got to figure out, you know, who's going to come in and replace these players and give them a break. But they have a good solid three players that can average 20 points or better, you know, and that's not even with Aiden, you know, coming in here and there. So that's kind of a, you know, let's see what they can do. As far as the East, you know, the 76ers are going to be the 76ers, you know. They're going to do good and fall apart, and just in my opinion. Boston Celtics, you know, they lost their dog, their point guard. So they're going to have to figure out, you know, how they're going to run that team. You know, the sixth man is hurt. They can't even trade him. So that there's some issues going on there.
Are you a Hornet fan?
I'll cheer him on. You know, Dennis Smith Jr. from Fayetteville. So, you know, I'll definitely be keeping out on him. But, you know, during the time when I was a fan, you know, it was Michael Jordan, then Kobe Bryant, and then it kind of like, you know, faded off and just see, you know, just being a sports, you know, guy, just watching different teams at that point, just to be honest with you, even though I'm from
gotcha.
North Carolina. Yeah. So it kind of.
I can remember growing up and of the brothers, the oldest and my youngest.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we was out at my father's house, and so it had to be a Friday night or Saturday night. At that point in time, we just went to my father's house every other weekend. And
yeah.
I remember this was the days we had Muggsy Bogues, and you had Kendall Gill, and you had Larry Johnson,
yeah, Larry
and
Johnson.
You had Alonzo
yeah.
Mourning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they lost that series. But I can remember that was probably my first and most youngest memory when that arena got loud and watched the Hornet light up and you hear the buzz and
yeah.
everything else. And just it got to a point where I was cheering for the Hornets, and I assume my brother was cheering for, just because of the excitement, just because of the energy in that arena.
Yeah.
And then the whole time I lived in North Carolina, I was a Cavalier fan, of course. By that time, I became a Cavalier fan and the LeBron and everything else. And then Charlotte went through their changes. They were the Hornets, and they were the Bobcats, and the back to the Hornets and everything else. I think this year the Hornets got a little surprised. At least Hornet fans, I really think that they thought they were getting Scoot Henderson, the player out of the G League, Instead, they went with Brandon Miller. It was kind of Jordan's kind of last little decision-making before he went ahead and officially stepped away. Speaking of Jordan, and he robbed Jordan a second a minute ago, that is crazy to know that his initial investment for his part stake, he spent like $180 million to turn around to sell that stake for $3 billion.
Yeah.
You're going to talk about an ROI, a return on investment. That is some insanity there, especially for a team that has really been irrelevant the entire time that he has been majority owner, whatever his stake was. To know that, but to know that the value of it has gone up so significantly much, it's just crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Power investment.
I'm curious to see how this Scoot Henderson, Damian Lillard, there's still a lot of talk whether or not Damian's going to stay there, and especially getting Scoot Henderson and how that's going to work. And there's still a lot of talk of whether or not Portland or if Portland will trade off Scoot Henderson and get a veteran player. A lot of people feel that Portland should either have already traded or, when they got Scoot, traded off to a team with veteran players such as the whole Zion, and to give Damian Lillard, or more so the Portland Trail Blazers, an opportunity for a championship run, versus now you're not winning a championship anytime soon. Now you're basically saying we're going to rebuild and we're going to stay loyal to Damian Lillard and let him be part of this rebuild process. But by the time this team really gets done rebuilding, Damian's going to be at his back end of his 30s and is not going to be part of this championship run. So we're gonna include you in our rebuilding plans out of loyalty because you've been loyal to us, but we don't really plan on you making it through this whole rebuild process is kind of how I take this.
Yeah. I think eventually he's going to have to get his way up out of there. But who knows? Who knows? You know, sometimes he talks like he wants to ride with him. Sometimes he talks like he wants to leave. So ain't no telling what he really wants to do until it really happens, you know, but it's just hard to get players to come to Portland. You got to really draft good, and hopefully players is willing to stay. But you know, nobody wants to go up there. I mean, that's just being for real. Basically, you know, I never heard of a big time free agent going to Portland.
Send me to Portland. I want to go play for Portland. I guess I'm different because you send me up there. But I'm also the type that if I had a choice outside of Alaska, because I've always wanted to live in Alaska or at least visit Alaska. Mm-hmm. Ever since the fifth grade when I did we all had to do a state report on a state and I had Alaska. Ever since then, I've always at least wanted to visit. I wish I would have got stationed there. If I would have got stationed there, I probably would have stayed in the military longer. But if I had a choice outside of Alaska, I would want to move to Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, anywhere up there towards that direction, away from everybody. So I think I would kind of be the exception to the rule and go ahead and send me up to Portland, send me up there in the middle of nowhere, away from everything. But most people know, marketing wise, it's not good. Having any kind of really social life or any kind of anything, that's not you when it comes to Portland. But I think for a young player, it's a good place to be because you're not going to get in a lot of trouble out there. It's not like New York or Chicago or L.A. where there's a lot to get in trouble with. So there is that aspect of it. But, no, not – I've never heard anybody ever, well, I wouldn't mind going playing for Portland, or I hope Portland, you know, decides they want me, right? You know, I've never been a topic of conversation of any player I've ever heard. So, yeah. Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback, kind of threw out a comment talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about having one of the best arms or throwing the best any quarterback. I'm going to pull up the exact quotes here in a second, which has kind of ruffled a few feathers. Where's it at? No, not going to be a dog fight. Explain. Anyway, complimented, I'm trying to pull up the exact words you said, basically complimented Aaron Rodgers, basically saying he had one of the best arms in the NFL, which, of course, you have, especially those that are big-time Patrick Mahomes fans that were not real pleased or real happy with the comments that Josh Allen made. I don't think that Josh Allen's comments were that far off. Like, I understand that Aaron Rodgers only won one Super Bowl. And you kind of walk down a slippery slope when you start having this conversation with championships and players.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say, well, it's easier for an NBA. It's easier for LeBron to be held accountable or win championships because there's only five people on the court. Well, that you're also only allowed at so many players, and really after you're starting five, your roster really falls off a significant amount due to salary caps and availability and what you can have on your roster. Baseball, you kind of can be held into that same category as football because you got nine other players or eight other players on the field and a whole different rotation of pitchers. So it's kind of a slippery slope when you talk about Aaron Rodgers. Well, he only won one championship. Well, he's only one guy on, you know, 11 guys on offense, and then there's 11 guys on defense, and there's 11 guys on special teams, and, you know, there's many different factors that get to play into it. I understand all that. So, I don't like making excuses. It's kind of what you're doing for anybody that says, well, you know, he just won player on a 53-man roster, and, you know, well, that's fine. Tom Brady has won how many championships or how many Super Bowls? So, but I don't feel that Josh Allen's comments talking about Aaron Rodgers and being one of the best throwing quarterbacks in the NFL or ever to play is that far-fetched.
But the more you think about it, you know, as far as passing ball, you know, knowing breaks and knowing when I'm going to get out of breaks, knowing that ball is going to be there, you know what I mean, before I even turn around. You understand what I'm saying? If you actually think about it, you know, Patrick Mahomes, his throws are really, you know, I'm not taking away from him. You know what I mean? I don't want to make it sound like that. But the more you think about it, his plays are more off-script plays, you know, a lot of good tight ends that they're open. You know, his shots are open shots. But the more you think about it, you know what I mean? Does Patrick Mahomes throw a real back shoulder? Does he really throw a dig? Does he really throw a dig route? Once I put my foot in the ground and I turn my head, is the ball there? You know, does he, you know, does he throw with really good anticipation? You know, is he throwing to a spot? You know, his throws are really not like that the more you think about it. But Aaron Rodgers is now. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know that 5 yards.
As long as Aaron Rodgers has a veteran receiver and receiving core, Aaron Rodgers could throw that ball before that wide receiver even makes that cut, and that ball is going to be with that receiver. Mm-hmm. That receiver knows his route. When he turns, that ball is right on the numbers.
Yeah, right there. Right there. Boom.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to, like I said, and I'm the same boat as you, I'm not going to take away from Patrick Mahomes because what he's accomplished, especially in the short amount of time he's done, has been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has had some butterfly throws. But I'll also say there's a lot of times those throws are lucky. There's a lot of just shuffle passes, a lot of yards after catch that also has helped Mahomes have the stats he has. There's a lot of scrambling, a lot of just throwing the ball up and you having some of the best receivers, and it helps to have the tight end. I guarantee you if Aaron Rodgers had a Travis Kelce, he'd probably have more Super Bowls than he's had. I can't recall. I know he's had a tight end or two, but I in his career, I can't recall ever having a run with a tight end like Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes has had with a tight end in the short amount of time Patrick Mahomes has even been in the league. And I feel that the Green Bay Packers has not done a great job of keeping talented receivers to continue to build. It seems like by the time the contract comes up, because they're good, then they go ahead and go in a different direction because they don't want to pay that money. Not that they keep throwing money out there to keep those receivers. And part of it, I feel Aaron Rodgers, there's a similarity between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I think some of those receivers, if it wasn't for Tom Brady or it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, we wouldn't even know who those receivers were. They wouldn't have the contracts they have because those quarterbacks helped make those receivers. And we've seen that out of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. But, yes, I agree with you. I don't feel that the – and it was just crazy listening to some of these shows. Like, you would have thought that people were just – making up the most crazy, or Josh Allen was making up the most crazy things and was just so left field. And I'm sitting there thinking, and of course they're going to throw out the Super Bowls and everything else. Well, there's more than one player on a 53-man roster, first of all. And yes, there's been some of the postseason runs that, okay, it kind of fell on Aaron Rodgers' arm or lack of arm or whatever the case may be.
Aaron Rodgers took his hit. You know, honestly, over the last couple of years, his hit is that he doesn't finish in the playoffs. You know what I mean? You know, the last couple of years, you know, San Francisco, you know, is not finishing. You know, what's up with finishing a game in the playoffs? That's where it kind of gets iffy with the Rodgers talk. You know what I mean? He does good, you know, during the regular season, but when playoff time comes, you know, I can't really remember. You know, the more you think about it, too, you can't really. The more I think about it, Aaron Rodgers hasn't really, you know, led Green Bay when it's time to come in the playoffs, you know, as far as driving them down the field. You know, I haven't remembered any big moments like that. So I think it's just about with Aaron Rodgers, what's he going to do in the playoffs. He'll get you there. But
I don't feel none of these losses had to do with him poor throws or turnovers. I think as a team, they just didn't perform. They weren't able to finish what they needed to finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a few minutes left.
All right.
I'm going to start getting things wound down a little bit. Let them know, A, where you, what you got going on, what you got coming up for the Carolina Sports okay. Plus. B, what we got coming up boxing, and C, where they can find Carolina Sports Plus website, Facebook, and all that.
All right. First off, I got some shout outs to do. I'd like to shout out the Angel Munoz, boxer out of Spring Lake, Tony Burgess Boxing. His fight is coming up July the 29th. And I also got to give another shout out to Russ, another boxer that, you know, is going to be on a Carolina Sports Plus team. He is also fighting on the same day, on the same card as Angel. So that's going to be exciting. He also boxes out of Tony Burgess, and also give a shout out to Michael Williams Jr. His fight is coming up August the 12th in Fayetteville. So we definitely got a lot of good things, you know, coming up here, you know, as far as Carolina Sports Plus to go see and go watch and support. You can catch us on Facebook and Instagram at Carolina Sports Plus. You can catch us CarolinaSportsPlus.com. You can catch us on YouTube. There's a lot of good things going on. We got a shoe raffle. And just check us out.
Make sure that you guys, A, go check out www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. You can find all the blogs, all the videos, all the shows, marketing partners, all that over there. Also, it has a spot on there where it's got all the tabs. It takes you to all the different platforms that our podcasts are on, iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Savon, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Podchasers, YouTube. All you got to do is click on any of those tabs, and it will take you over to the platform, and you can follow the show there, or just if you have iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, any of those on your phone, all you do is just search the 110 Nation and or the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network and follow us that way as well. You can also catch the shows over at www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Follow us on Instagram, the 110 Nation. And make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel. We got a lot of things going on there. Got some new toys. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to use. Excuse me, for Father's Day, I got one of those phone camera holding things. I don't know exactly what you call it. It was on the video that I did this last week. Basically, you put your phone on there. Actually, you can plug in. They bought a microphone for it. I tested it Father's Day. Well, I walked around. You could hold the carrying thing. I don't know what it's actually called. So it's called, the brand name is Zudio. But like I tried to shake it and kind of jerk it, like you have your phone in your hand. And you have your phone in the hand, it kind of it's real jerky. With this, you jerk it and it hardly moves. So it makes the video very, very still. There's not a lot of jerking with the video. The issue is I got to figure out what videos I want to do. I had talked about getting this before, and I kind of steered away from getting it because I couldn't think what I was going to record to use it with, or if I had someone record me with, what I was going to have them walk around with me while I was doing whatever I was doing to record. But then I got it for Father's Day. So now I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to do, like when we do I do the promo videos, if we're going to, I'm going to have the boys record me and I kind of do different things, walk up on it, then walk up on me, whatever, to promote the clips of the video, whatever. I'm not quite sure, got to play with that. But we got some cool toys to play with, so we're working on that. Also, I'm supposed to be doing a Radioactive for the MPRL Racing League. They race on Wednesday nights. I'm not sure if they race tonight or not. I know they did race last Wednesday night. Due to the whole work situation, I have not had time to – basically, they sent me three different point of views of an hour-long race. So I need to take clips from different point of views and do a whole Radioactive thing. So I got to take a break tomorrow. I only can work 11 hours before I get in trouble. So I have a long break tomorrow. So I'm going to try to work on that while I'm on break tomorrow. It kind of kills some time. So got a lot of things going on. Tuesday nights, Race Chat Live right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, 8 o'clock. Don't miss that. If you have a show and you want to syndicate it on our network to help get more exposure with our different platforms we are on and our following, or maybe you want to do a show and don't have a platform and would like to join the 110 Nation, do your show on our Blog Talk Radio, which that's the platform we go live, and then it gets syndicated on everything else. Just hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. In the subject headline, just put join the 110 Nation or wanting to join the 110 Nation so that it sticks out amongst the emails I get. Would love to have an opportunity to talk to you and see about having you join. Or if it's other things behind the scene, you want to help us help grow our social media, if it be Instagram, if it be Facebook or Twitter or the YouTube channel, whatever. Just hit me up, MrCJSports@gmail.com. Or if you're listening and you're an athlete and love to have an opportunity to come on the show and kind of introduce us, the world, to you, just hit me up as well.
I definitely want to do that. I got some boxes I need to premiere and promote, but that'll be something that we can definitely talk about for next week.
Most definitely. We'll definitely be back on next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock right here for another episode of the 110 Nation Sports show. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. You think anything else before we get out of here?
No. Great show, and see y'all next week.
Y'all have a great night. Till next time.